evening, ladies and gentlemen. Adequate notice of this meeting on September 12, 2018, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 2, 2018, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. This notice was mailed to the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Parker?
Here.
Ms. Sheehan?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. All right. We come next to the letter from the Roosevelt Democratic Municipal Committee submitting three nominees to fill the vacancy on the council. And these are the nominees for the seat expiring on December 31st, 2020, formerly occupied by Maureen Parrott. And the three names are Luke D. Dermody, David M. Curtis, and Robert C. Dermody. So do I have a motion or a nomination? Or
yeah, I'd like to nominate, place a nomination, Luke D. Dermody, 31 Homestead Lane, to fill that position. And that's to the end of the year, right?
I believe it's to the election.
To the general election.
Yeah.
I just want to make that clear.
Yes. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Roll call. Any other nominees? Okay. Being none, a roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
I'll abstain. I don't know him, so I'd like to get to know him.
I just want to mention for the record that Luke will also be on the ballot. So he's just filling this this seat temporarily until the election results are in. But he's on the ballot for a full council term seat. Okay. So his name will appear on the ballot in the November election. So the idea was that, you know, since he's very interested and he's a poli-sci major, he really wants to do it, he can get kind of a running start and fill that limited amount of time.
He was at our last meeting sitting in the audience.
Yes, yeah. And he's lived here his entire life.
Between now and the end of the year, he can get a running start and then he'll know what he's in for.
Okay, I met him that night, so can I
change your vote?
Can I change my vote?
Can he change his vote?
Can we erase this part of the tape?
Sure.
I changed my vote to
Watergate
yes.
Of
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Can everyone hear? Because it's very noisy back here, so I just want to make sure everyone can hear. Okay. Okay. Well, actually, Luke is not here tonight. He couldn't be here tonight, so we will leave his oath of office until the next meeting.
California.
He's in California?
Yes, he is, yeah.
Where?
He's doing some tracks, so they're camping around with the track team.
I know he's a runner. Okay.
So I'll do the oath when he comes back or at the next meeting.
Right. Okay. Mayor's report. I don't really have a report as usual of late. We have quite a lot on the agenda. So I'll just dispense with my report and go directly to the business at hand. I'm trying to think. When did we wish for? Well, I wanted Jerry and George so that they don't have to sit through the whole meeting. Can we
suspend the regular order of business?
Yeah, so I'd like. Can I have a motion to suspend the regular order of business so that George Lang and Jerry Stankiewicz, our CFO and auditor, can answer questions from the council or the residents concerning the bond again, and this way they don't have to sit through our entire meeting. Do I have a motion?
Yeah, I'll make that motion.
Second?
I'll second that.
You
don't have to do a roll call.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Voice
just couldn't get the words. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I just want to say for the record again that as chair of finance I asked for a debt analysis, and I think there should have been copies there for the public. It looks complex. It's not. The first page is really the main page. Everything else is detail on it. But we have George Langer, CFO, and also Jerry Stankiewicz here. And I know George will be happy to go over this and answer any questions. But I thought it was terribly important, if we're considering incurring more debt, to really look at the actual numbers, see what levels of debt we're actually at, and what our borrowing capacity is. So I asked for this report and asked for them to come in tonight.
So how about if we entertain questions from the council first, if anyone has anything they need explained or questions they'd like to ask of George and Jerry?
Okay. Let me just, my biggest thing is the debt load for this water and sewer plant. And I actually spoke with George about this right before we started the meeting. And I look at it like I worry about getting things done, you know, i.e. putting new water pipes in and stuff like that, versus the debt that we already have incurred versus what we would incur. And I said something like, so if we had a house that's worth like $600,000 and we are $400,000 into the equity of that house, which is pretty much what it states, and we have $200,000 now that we can still access if we wanted to borrow against the house. And that's pretty much how I see it. So we have that sort of a, not credit line, but we have access to that kind of credit should we want to go into it. So to me it becomes, how do we want to proceed in the future with the water mains and the sewer mains and not break the bank is really what it comes down to. So that's my main concern.
I think it might be helpful for them to go over the document that they distributed to the council and also to the public, because I think it speaks to
It does, and that's what we went over, just in real basic terms. That's how we looked at it. But if they want to explain a little further, that's great. Okay. So.
Could you want to do that?
Yeah. The sheet that we look at, that first page, the very top part really mirrors the annual debt statement. The cover page, the top part of the page, basically mirrors the front page of the annual debt statement as filed by every municipality in New Jersey in the first month of the following year, so January of this past year. So it gives us a picture of what the borough's debt is at 12/31/17. Now, every town, the school debt is figured in, but it's because it's not that much, it's taken right out. So I don't think I've seen where school debt actually counted against the town percentage. There probably are some examples, but we're not even close. They can issue up to 2.5% of total value. They're not even close with that. I'm going to jump down to our municipal general capital debt, and that's debt that's covered by taxes. You just think of our general, like our roads and those type of projects that we just recently adopted an ordinance for roads that would actually, in 2018, that's going to count against that number. The biggest part of our debt, which of no surprise, is water, sewer, utility debt.
Right.
We have 4.1, almost 4.2 million of debt outstanding at the end of the year. Now that includes bonds, that includes notes, that includes loans. Mm-hmm. It also includes debt where we've authorized debt. We haven't really spent it, and we haven't issued any bonds, notes, or loans against it, but it was authorized. I have a breakdown on the very bottom of the page. As far as what we have in bonds and farmers' home loan and notes, whatever.
Okay. On a question there, I'm sorry to interrupt. What does it mean that the bond is and notes are authorized but not issued?
Like, for example, we just adopted an ordinance, perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
We adopted an ordinance which authorized $310,000 worth of debt.
Right.
So right now,
for the road repaving.
The road repaving,
right.
The Homestead Lane project.
Right.
Of which we're getting grant funding, we did do a debt portion of that, which is $310,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that was adopted. It passed the 20-day estoppel period, so that's been approved.
Mm-hmm.
In that ordinance, we authorized the issuance of $310,000 worth of bonds, notes, loans. We haven't issued anything against that.
Okay.
So today, that's part of our authorized bonds, notes, loans, authorized but not issued. Because we haven't issued a note, we haven't issued a bond or anything against that.
Right.
You know, but we have the debt authorization. We could go out tomorrow and get quotes for a note and do it. But we're not going to because we're not spending the money right now.
Okay.
So that's basically what unauthorized but not issued, unless you have anything to add to that.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So and this works in New Jersey. Every town, they take the 3-year average of the equalized value of the town. You know, they take the assessed value, equalize it. You know, some towns are assessed at 100%, some towns are assessed at 80%, some are 20%. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And they make it everybody equalized on a standard. You take that divided by the outstanding debt, and we get 0.61%, which is pretty low by those standards. A lot of towns are a lot higher than that.
That's the town, not the water sewer.
That's everything. That's town, water, sewer, everything.
Okay.
And that's why I go back on one thing. You'll notice on the water sewer debt, a portion of that is in the net debt because at the end of the year, basically, the water utility expenses were greater than the revenues. So whatever that number, whatever that shortfall was, times 20 counts against your debt. It's a little more, it's a little complicated. So a portion of that counts against our net debt because there's a term called self-liquidating. We weren't self-liquidating at year end.
Right.
So
now that self-liquidating in terms of the notes.
Well, self-liquidating just means all your revenues that you collected for the year compared to what you had in your budget. We anticipated, so many user fees. We anticipated cell tower fees, interest on delinquent accounts, those type of things. And then we compared it to what our operating expenses were and our debt service.
So I'm still a little confused about self-liquidating versus liquidating, let's say.
I mean, if our revenues were $1 million and our expenses were $900,000, we'd be self-liquidating.
We would have assets enough to cover our debts, basically.
Yeah, because there's... When you have a shortfall, the money comes from the current fund to the water sewer fund.
Right.
So, but that doesn't count as part of our operation, so to speak.
The O&A operations.
We had some anticipated money that came from the current fund to the water sewer fund. I guess it might be getting a little more complicated.
This is from the current fund of the town to the water sewer fund.
Right, yeah.
Because we were at a loss for revenues on the water sewer fund.
Right, we have to balance. We have to at least equal our expenses.
Okay.
So a portion of our debt counts against our overall debt percentage. Again, 0.61%, less than 1%, is not terrible. It's actually, most towns would be thrilled to have that. Our issue is, because we're a small town, we're not dealing with a real big number.
Right.
Yeah. So, our net debt at the end of 17 was $519,000.
Okay.
We authorized another 310, which was the ordinance you just adopted.
Right.
So that means we have $829,000 that counts against our debt percentage as of today.
Now that's a total town debt, including
net
the water
debt.
Sewer.
Now we're talking about net debt.
Okay.
Right. There's a whole calculation with what you can authorize.
Okay.
Now we can authorize 3.5%. Again, coming back to that equalized valuation number. So 3.5% of the $85 million gives us almost $3 million. It's $2.979 million. That's essentially the maximum that we can issue this year. That's our debt limit.
That's for the town proper?
Yeah.
Right.
Without
okay.
anything else.
Right. Okay.
So if you take away, if you subtract out the $829,000 that we've already, as counting against our net debt,
mm-hmm.
at least $2.1 million of borrowing capacity.
Okay.
So to speak.
Okay. Now that's what I was talking about. So that $2 million plus the debt that we already have, a little over $4 million, makes our house worth $600.
But the net debt doesn't calculate that way. It works on the net debt. It doesn't work on gross debt.
Okay. All right.
Just like the school debt doesn't count against our percent.
I know. I try to keep it as simple as possible
And essentially, this is just telling us that we could issue another $2.1 million this year, and we wouldn't be exceeding our limit.
Right. Still be under the wire. Right.
And actually, later on, we will be making some principal payments, but it's not going to be anything significant.
Right.
In our general capital fund, I think it's $10,000 this year. So we're not really talking about Okay.
No, that's another question. I don't want to get you off track here.
Yeah.
When will these bonds, the $4.1 million, what's the earliest one that will...
Well, if you look at the attached pages, there's schedules for each one.
Right.
And you have to kind of, you know, there's a number of different issues. You know, if you look at bonds payable, you know, we have an issue that we did through the Improvement Authority, and that was funding up the original, the big Farmers Home loan, you know, which was, I forget the rates, 6%?
They were over 6%.
5%, 5%.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
That was refinanced back in 2011. That principle, we really couldn't reduce the term of it because it was a 40-year bond.
Okay.
So what we did save on some interest costs and some for 2031. Not for that we paid.
Okay. Yeah, I see that down there.
Yeah,
2031.
Right. Yeah.
Right. There's another one.
Then we issued through the Monmouth County Improvement Authority also.
Right.
Funding up some various projects.
2027 is that one? Right.
Yeah.
The other one is 2029.
Right. And then you get into the EIT loans, and they have different schedules, 2029, 2035.
Right. Okay. So we're looking at...
The first one is the small farmer's home loan, which is probably 2022. And we pay about $18,000 principal and interest a year. You can see almost $14,000 when you get the principal in 17. And then we have the notes out there. They were just issued last year. So notes, after 3 years, you have to start making principal payments, and they can't go more than 10 years. So that, we'll have to see how that fits in.
So we start paying them down this year or next year?
No, just interest first year.
Okay, so this year we'll start paying the interest on. So
no, and then at the end of the year, we'll roll the note again. Probably roll it for another year, and then we'll pay interest again next year.
Right.
Or depending on how the budget works, maybe we'll pay some principal.
Was that the one for the improvements to the water plant, the new filters?
It was a combination. If you look at the last page, which is the authorized but not issued,
mm-hmm.
It also gives you a picture of what the notes are, 376-150, and it's four different ordinances.
Gotcha.
You know? The biggest part was when you had to rehab the water tower in 2016.
$800,000.
Yeah. No, $800,000. That's what's not issued.
Oh, okay.
The third column is okay. The 376 is the bond anticipation notes.
Okay.
The biggest part of that is the elevated water tower. When you had to make repairs to the tower in 16, that was renovated, I guess, in 2009. I think. But you have an EIT loan on it.
Yeah, I wasn't around for that one.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of a picture of where you are.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as percentage, you're not in bad shape, really.
Right.
Yeah. That's because you're dealing with a smaller base.
Yeah.
You know, $2.1 million. You're limited where you are right now. Yeah.
Okay.
That number, that 2150.
Yeah.
The borrowing power.
Right.
You know, does that mean anything in regards to raising taxes or anything? I mean, does that mean you can borrow up to $2 million and taxes don't go up? Or there is no relationship?
No, there's no relationship. This is just what you issue debt. Obviously, you get $2 million, it's going to affect, well, not taxes, but it would affect you.
Is there any numbers here that say how big of a loan we can take out without raising taxes?
No. I mean, as I kind of mentioned in a meeting before, you know, you have a limited group of users, so mostly anything you do is going to have an impact.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
the tax base is basically it, and that's it.
And
unless we raise taxes,
number of users,
yeah.
You know, there's no additional users. What you have been trying to do is get additional revenue, like additional cell tower fees.
You're
looking on the expense side, trying to reduce expenses. So you've gone with the contractors, and so far
that
looks like
that helps.
Good. You know, it's going to give us a better picture going into 2019 where our budget is.
Right. As far
as the impact, but to say, you know, you could issue, you know, $1 million of debt and it's not going to affect the rates,
that will.
Well, what you try to do is do it the most efficient way, and you take advantage of the best finance, and the best deal out there right now is the iBank, because we are eligible for 50% forgiveness on these water projects, and the balance is like 1.25% maybe, and you could go, depending on how much we issue, it could be between 20 and 30 years. So you're spreading it, and it's the best deal out there right now.
Okay, just off the top of your head, the revenues versus debt for the water and sewer plant this past year, 2017, how far in the hole are we?
At the end of the last year, about 20,000.
Not half, but
I mean,
not as bad as I thought.
This year's predicting more, it all depends how everything falling. I was looking at the revenues the other night, and we're running about 20,000 ahead of last year, but our budget's different too.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say, that it's going to be less than $20,000. It could be more. We're still going to have an anticipated deficit.
We'll know more after the 6 months of.
Yeah, and you'll be able to.
Forecast
a
little better,
yeah. But also, you
get
that additional revenue. That's obviously
all
these factors you're going to want. Yeah. All right,
I'm good.
Questions about the debt, as far as the borrowing capacity?
George, do you know when the last time water sewer rates were raised? It's been a while.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact year.
I don't either, but.
Yeah.
Been the same 6 years since I've been.
Probably.
Yeah. It's been. We've been trying to hold it off as much as possible. What, 2006?
No, maybe
6 years.
Oh, 6 years ago.
I moved in and the rates went up.
Yeah. I know we've been trying. We've been trying really. When we work on the budget every year, we've been trying really hard not to raise rates as much as possible. Anyone else at the table? All right, I'll turn it over to the public. Michael?
Hold on, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. What is this?
Mayor, one other thing. As we talked about a couple months ago when we introduced the ordinance, the ordinance is $715,000. So if we spend every dime and we don't get principal forgiveness, and based on the EIT rates as of 23rd of July. Okay, over 30 years, it would be an impact of $95.04 per year per user.
Per user.
Okay.
And that's if we don't receive
the
nano loan.
Get the grant and spend every dime.
Okay.
And
if we do not get the grant,
if we don't get the grant, we spend every dime.
Now, is that the grant for the pipes or
whatever the EIT deal is?
The ordinance that's pending.
In all honesty, if we get the 50% grant, then we're going to be financing about $355,000. And to be honest with you, George nor I would sit here and tell you, I wouldn't finance it over 30 years. I would finance it over 20.
Yeah.
Okay, so just so you know the impact. If we were to finance it over 20 as opposed to 30, the rate would be $142 more per year for the customer, which is $12 a month, which if you're billing bi-monthly,
$24.
It's another $24 on top of the Birdhouse numbers, $330. So but keep in mind, as George reviewed before, when we get into the next decade, it sounds kind of crazy, but when you're talking about sewer work and road work, you have to think out 15 years. We're going to have significant drops in debt service, and that $95 or $142 will only be in effect for about 8 years. And then that starts dropping off. Okay.
Let me ask you about the 95 again. You say if we do not get the bond,
if we spend every dime of the 715 and get no grant.
Oh, okay. So if we do the pipes without any grant forgiveness,
that's correct.
Okay.
In all honesty, we can, in my mind, I think we're going to be south of that in terms of. I don't. They like little towns. The EIT, the iBank exists to help little places like us. So. A lot has to do with getting the paperwork in there and everything. But like I said, right now I'm saying it's 142 or 95. But remember, if you look at those maturities, when they drop off at 27, 29, and 35, to be honest with you, it's time now to start looking at that. So let's assume this project gets approved. Well, you got to start looking at the one behind that one for a few years after that because you need to take advantage of the old debt dropping away. Okay, and do what you can to keep the system intact. It's awful expensive at one shot deal to do the whole system. It truly is, and so you have to piece it in. You have to phase it in. And like I said, it's not crazy to think 15 years out, especially with the sewer and the water. If you did 700 or 800,000, every 4 or 5 years, that's a good thing. And because you can't do it all in one shot.
I just want to add another thing. You know, we're talking about principal forgiveness. And say you adopt this ordinance, we'll say 700,000. And you know, that 700,000 counts against that 2.1 million. But however, when the EIT sells the loan, they say, okay, we're going to give you 50% forgiveness. You only have to pay back 350. That 350 comes back into our debt percentage. So only 350, only the net number, the 350, is subtracted from our borrowing power. So it's not closer to $700,000 of borrowing power, it's 350.
George, one thing though.
Yeah.
The debt forgiveness is only on the federal portion.
Yeah.
So if 715,000, if 640 is federal money, then we're only going to get 50% maximum.
Yeah. I'm just using round numbers.
The state, but I want to make sure we're corrected on that.
Yeah.
We won't. We might get 350. More than likely, it'll be around 300, 320.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you don't get forgiveness on state on the state loan.
Okay.
But either way, whatever forgiveness we get, it has to come back to our borrowing power.
Okay.
And the other problem we run into, we don't know from day to day what's going to come out of Washington in terms of the
next go
EPA.
Round.
This is EPA money that they're pumping in nationwide, okay? And it's a good thing. It's the best deal going other than outright grants, which really don't exist anymore. You know, we don't know when the administration is going to say, oh, under my or our investment plan, we're not doing that anymore, okay? But there's been no real word yet, but you never know when that's going to happen. So I'm just saying, right now, these are the deals that are on the table.
I got a question. Historically, how do these rates that are being offered by the iBank compare with other deals? They gave deals under the Reagan administration, they subsidized some of these things. But how do these rates compare historically?
I think all you have to do is look at your farmer's home loans that you were getting at 5% and 3/4%, I think, is what they were giving back in the 90s.
Yeah, that was the early 90s.
One with 82 and one with 92, I think.
Yeah.
The beauty of those loans was that they were allowed to loan them to you. If the asset you were building had a 40-year useful life, you said, hey, that's great, I'll take it for 40 years, because that would spread the impact out. It wouldn't hit your rate payer so hard at one time. The market has changed. The federal government still loans money at 40%. If the asset has a 40-year useful life. And if you can prove
otherwise
that the iBank deal is not in your best interest, but that's awful difficult to prove. The iBank is the best deal known. The effective cost of capital on this deal would be like 1.25%, okay, which you can't beat. If we were to go to the open market, we had a bond sale yesterday in another community, and the rate for 8 years was 3%.
2.92. 12 years, actually.
Right, for 12 years. So, hey, that's a good deal in the overall scheme of reality, but it's still nowhere near as good as the NJI Bank deal.
Yeah. And if that deal was for 30 years, you wouldn't be getting 2.92.
No.
We could be a lot higher.
In fact, we can't go into the market for more than 20 years. No one's buying 20-year, greater than 20-year paper,
Now, they don't do the loan forgiveness part for sewer line replacement, just water. Is that right?
That's my understanding.
But the rate of interest is still subsidized. It's down.
Still, the rate of interest is
around
1%,
1.25%.
Still talking about 1.25% at the most. Yeah.
Okay.
You're still talking the same. great percentage. Even notes are going higher than that.
Because we don't know yet what the condition of sewer lines are. So
but
we need to.
I think we need to look at that and then make a decision. Like a little more facts on the table.
And you know what? If you do piecemeal, that's probably the only way you can financially handle it. Do a section. I'm not saying which section, but in different sections.
Right.
I think we figured out that the ordinance that's pending was about 8 to 10% of your system.
About 8 to 10.
A serious dent. I mean, Greg's involved in many communities, and they did that much. That's awesome. If you can get that deal, I mean, the $700,000, George, includes the nano money, which
that is a deal. That would be nano.
Yeah, the NAB, yeah.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to go out and out of order and let the public ask questions. Michael.
Just ask a question for clarification here. I noticed the net debt we have is $519,000, correct? And then the new debt, I think, is $310,000, a total of $800,000. So
where we are today.
Right, exactly. It's like we talk about a 60% increase in the debt of that one. And my question is, this is the first year we've done road improvements everywhere. Where is that money? How is that?
A small piece might be in this number, but in the past, most of the road projects.
You're on the towns.
We had the grant.
Right.
We authorized debt, and what we've been trying to do is raise that money as we go along in the budget. Yeah. So maybe if we were say $30,000 short, we put that in the budget, just raise it, and not have to go out for bonds. This project was a bigger project, and it was more debt authorized on this than we. Normally we'd have to do this project because of the scope of the project.
Okay.
It all depends on how the bids come in. Historically, we've done very well with bids. They usually come in a lot lower. I mean, I think that's, Carmelo tries to maximize the amount of money we get, but everything's on the high side.
Okay. Yeah, they're saying the other half of Homestead Lane, we already did half of Homestead
Lane. Right,
And this doesn't seem like it's so different than other things we've done in the past.
Actually, I have a list I can read. So this is a list of the roads and their respective fiscal years and grant amounts for Roosevelt. So in 2005, we did Lake Drive from South Valley to Spruce, and we received $150,000. We did Lake Drive, Rochdale to South Valley, 2007, $132,000. We did Pine Drive and Maple Court in 2009. We received $160,000. Homestead Phase 1 was 2012, and we received $200,000. Oscar Drive, 2013, we received $200,000. Nurco Road Phase 1 was 2014, and we received $185,000. And then, I'm sorry, I have such a tickle in my throat. And then South Valley Road from Empty Box Brook to Clarksburg in 2015, we received $210,000. And as of right now, we have $210,000 for Homestead Lane Phase 2 and $350,000 for Nurco and Elm. So just going back from 2005, we've received, I added up somewhere, but close to $1 million.
In grants.
These were grants that we received.
Right.
This is the other side.
But
a majority of the previous projects, we've basically been able to fund the difference between the grant and the total cost of the project without issuing bonds, like raising money in the budget or putting down payment money in the ordinance. This one was a little bigger. We'll have to see how this one works out.
Okay. So we might actually run the public lesson.
Yeah. Historically, the bids have always come in
also
low, and we've been able to cancel the unspent money.
Right. The DOT is not grant money for design phase.
That's
the project.
Good grant money.
For the engineer. They do give you money
maybe
for the construction administration for the engineer. So that's why we always have to throw a few bucks of our own in to every one of these deals. They don't reimburse you for design.
So it was almost like
this debt number may actually be
different.
That might not be the real debt number.
That's the maximum.
Right.
That's maximum. In the past, we've had some substantial amounts canceled out.
And actually, this adds up to about $1.5 million of actual grant money and all the road paving we've done in the last 13 years. Does anyone else have a question or anything, Jeb? Can you just identify yourself?
Turned on.
Can you tap it just to see if it's on? It's not on.
Yeah.
There's a switch. There should be a switch on top.
There it goes.
There you go.
Oh, I see.
That's better.
Okay.
There you go.
So I didn't really want to inquire about the nitty-gritty of the financing. C- Can I talk about other aspects of this project?
Well, if it's something that you think George and Jerry could answer.
No, it isn't.
Oh, well then, right now this is...
public hearing.
Yeah, there's a public hearing later. Right now this is just...
Oh, okay, so
for
I'll bring it up.
Anyone else? Mary?
Yeah, Mary Cullis, 21 Lake Drive. I just had a question on that last page where it's got various water sewer improvements of $820,000 balance, but no note was ever issued. What is that $820,000?
That's an ordinance from prior years, which was part of a big project. I think the total was like $1.6 million. We did improvements to the water plant. I think it was B&H Contracting that did the work. That was taken out of the ordinance. The balance of the ordinance was never spent. So we did authorize the debt, but we haven't really spent all that money. And that represents just that we haven't issued a note or a bond against it. And we didn't issue one because we haven't spent the money. Once there's plans ever to spend the money, or we can cancel that too, you know, at some point. But, that's to be determined. And it was related to other things with the water lines, I believe, was the second part of that project that was abandoned by the previous council or prior administration, I guess.
So that is available as a bond issue now? So that is
Well, that's debt authorized. That is a project that's on the books. We haven't spent all that money. And that's why we didn't issue a note, because we're not going to issue notes.
So that's
interest on money. Yeah. You don't need to borrow.
That's the last line on the first page. Also, the
that's authorized but not issued. Yeah.
So was that a resolution?
That was an ordinance. That's an ordinance. That's about the ordinance might be, instead of 820, it might be 700 something. I don't recall the exact number off the top of my head.
Can we
from 2016?
2016.
Mm-hmm.
That was around the time. No, that was after they did the improvements to the water plant.
That's
older.
Ordinance number 257-261. That's going back.
Oh. Yeah, I might be able to tell you.
That's ordinance number. I'd have to go look.
Oh, for the 820. Yeah.
It was it was in 2013. There was two. Originally, it was like 400,000. Then they authorized an additional 1.2 million. 2013. There was two ordinances. One ordinance, and then there was an amendment to the ordinance. And the last time it was done in December of 13, it looks like.
Do you have the ordinance number right up there?
Yeah, they're right here, 257 and 261.
Yeah, 261 amended 251.
No, I'm on the first page. Right.
257.
Mary, is that...
Did it help us 257? Now that's already authorized? Or why is it still hanging around out there?
Good question.
It wasn't acted on. You know, there was, I guess, plans, and then those plans never
came. So it was issued for over $1 million. Could part of that have been the filters and the water plant?
Well, part of it was that whole the water plant improvements. That was a big part of it.
Yeah.
And that part's funded. You know, we have a infrastructure trust loan on that.
Right. Okay.
The rest of it wasn't used. Right. It wasn't used.
But it's authorized.
It is there.
Cancel it. Right? I mean, you can cancel it. That frees up your borrowing capacity.
Well, not really. Because it's not the whole thing's counted against. Because we don't have 700,000 counted against it.
Right? Was there...
I don't know how you figured out the percentage.
I would change the purpose.
If you needed to.
Yeah.
Changing the purpose involves a complete revision to a bond ordinance which requires... a first reading.
Well, it's like a new meeting.
Right. So it was about the water plant and the water pipes.
It might have been. I think we have to pull that ordinance.
I think we have to read that.
Did that answer your question, Mary?
No, I still don't understand. Is there any purpose in keeping it around,
in case there's water plant improvements that need to be done that meets the specs, that meets the ordinance? The description in the ordinance.
Right.
Theoretically, we could tap into that because that's already approved.
Exactly.
It's already been approved by the council. It's just that money hasn't been borrowed.
We have to read it.
I think so. Off the top of my head. Yeah.
That would be the bond attorney, probably, and it depends on how that bond was written and what was written into it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Also, percentage.
Yeah, but yeah, there was.
Percentage rate?
Depends on how the ordinance is written. I don't think it was broken down between the several projects. I think it's just one number.
Kathleen's going to find
the ordinance. Okay. Yeah.
That would be like probably a 4 or 5% one there, I would assume. That's what the rest of them look like here.
What do you mean?
If we were able to use
that's already counted against your debt. That's when you look at the $4 million. That's
right.
Already in that $4 million number, that $820,000.
Okay. But that $4 million is variable interest rates depending on which bond it is.
Right. Yeah. But the $820,000, there is no interest rate because there is no debt. I mean, no debt issued.
It's
authorized.
One of the things that happens, Mary and everybody, is that we have to decide on finance whether or not we want to cancel. We can cancel that because it hasn't been used. That would free up more borrowing capacity.
Right.
However, we don't necessarily always want to free up borrowing capacity because we want to be, you know, very conservative as to how much we borrow. And we never know whether or not we're going to need more improvements to the plants. So you kind of start, it's six of one half dozen of the other. You know, what do you want to do? Do you want to cancel that debt or keep it on the books?
Yeah.
So
if you're looking at that number of $4.1 million debt, that's not actually our debt. You have to take away $820,000 because that is borrowed debt.
Yeah, but it's authorized. So it counts against our percentage.
Yeah.
Well,
in a municipal environment, have authorized debt.
It's debt.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Government works very differently than private sector.
Well, they do that.
I know what you're saying.
Those, if they want to read them.
Keep checks and balances on the local government.
So actually, we're healthier in terms of how much we've borrowed because of this being on the books.
Yeah.
But if we did use that money, at what interest rate would we be?
It depends on how we finance it.
Yeah.
If we did it through the iBank, it would be through those.
Oh,
rates.
I see. It could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually have the two ordinances, so I will read them. Ordinance 257, bond ordinance number 257, which was adopted March 27, 2013, so 5.5 years ago. Bond ordinance providing for various water and sewer utility improvements and appropriating $215,000, therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $204,250 bonds and notes to finance a portion of the cost thereof, authorized in and by the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Monmouth, New Jersey.
The second one's probably a better one.
Okay, and the second one.
It really amends it and takes away
down
payment.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
so the second one.
Puts it all together.
Okay. So that's 26 bond ordinance number.
That was preliminary expenses originally, that first ordinance. To kind of get going.
The first one was
right.
257.
Right.
Was the first one?
Okay. That was 257 that you just did? Okay.
Oh, I thought you meant the amount of money. I'm like, no.
No.
Yeah. Okay. And the second one was adopted December 9th, so about 6-7 months later, 2013. And this is bond ordinance number 261. Bond ordinance amending in part bond ordinance number 257 adopted on March 27, 2013, providing for various water and sewer utility improvements in order to increase the appropriation, therefore, by $1,405,000 for a total appropriation of $1,620,000 to increase the authorized bonds and notes to be issued to finance a portion of the cost thereof by $1,415,750 for a total debt authorization of $1,620,000 to increase the allocation of the appropriation to costs permitted under NJSA 40A:2-20 and to expand the scope of improvements to include the replacement of existing filters, valves, and piping in the installation of a pump to remove iron waste authorized in and by the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Monmouth, New Jersey.
Okay.
So
to me, the two of those combined is $1.620 million.
Yeah.
And half of that, approximately half of that, is the $820,000, which is...
Yeah, but there's probably
not
less
used.
Than $820,000 left.
Okay. All right. So I'll read these over really well.
In bonded, in the bond, Bird Island Thug, 22 Homestead Lane, in the bond description that presently under discussion, there's a drop dead date, which says if you don't have your stuff on the ground by a certain date, you don't get the money.
Are you talking about the other ordinance?
What I'm trying to find out is, was that same kind of language in this bond, in this 820,000?
No. And really, that language was referring to the ordinance that was adopted, which was the road improvement ordinance.
Right, where we had the DOT money.
That's where it had the drop dead date.
But wasn't this ordinance adopted?
That ordinance was adopted, but there's no drop dead date because this is, and we did get money on this, but there's no limit. Yeah, we did finance a portion of that. Mm-hmm. But there's no deadline with the infrastructure trust on that.
That was only dealing with the other ordinance,
which was the one that was adopted.
There was a deadline on that.
Anyone else like to ask or make a comment? No. So, can George and Jerry just sort of sum up why you think this is the right thing for us to do? Because you do, right? So, could you just like give a quick synopsis of why you feel we should pass this?
On the EIT portion, A, the interest rate is good. B, we're not sure how long the federal government is going to be having this type of a program where they're giving money to the states interest-free. The states who then redistribute it to the local municipalities as long as they meet the DEP and or EPA requirements with regards to environmental projects. Okay? So, yeah, and that from that perspective, yeah, the effective interest rate is good. The potential for principal forgiveness is very good because of how small we are and because of this nano program. And then there's the other aspect of doing a system whereby if you're going to fix the top of the road, fix what's underneath the road. Okay? And like I said, we talked about this, 8 to 10% of the system is being worked on, which is pretty good. And as you see, all the debt, the different drop-off dates and maturities in 25, 27, 29, and 30, we're almost at 19. It's not too early to start thinking longer range than that, especially with your water and sewer system. So, I don't know if George had anything else to.
No, I mean, basically, we're talking about the financing opportunities that are available, you know. I mean, as far as which project is better than that, I mean Carmel is pretty much has answered those type of questions. But, you know, we both agree that, you want to take advantage of this financing to improve your system.
On a quick question, there's no drop dead date. How about this year, by the end of the year, to?
No, the only risk is if the program goes away. It hasn't so far, and I haven't heard anything that it is, but you never know.
What's the likelihood that it'll go away this fiscal year?
I couldn't predict.
As you know, from Washington lately, you don't know what's going to ever happen next.
Okay.
And if we choose not to do this?
Well, you're probably going to have to do something at some point anyway. So it's whether you do it now, whatever that is, taking advantage of the low financing.
Well, that financing would apply for whatever project we do, right? I mean, it's not just Homestead or in the courts. I mean, whatever project we do has the same financing.
Water and or sewer improvements that qualify under the EPA regulations, and virtually everything does.
Yeah, they pretty much have opened it up.
Except for, that's a very bad word, my experience is, except for possibly plant expansion. Oversizing lines. Doesn't exist here. In other places it does, and I don't know if they quite enough their stance on
it. They are very negative on that.
Yeah, there's still the anti-growth.
Yeah. Is it water and sewer, or just water, I believe?
As far as what?
As far as this funding and the nano grants and all of that.
It funds both, but the water side, I believe, has principal forgiveness.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So water side, we get half forgiven.
Yeah, but you still get the attractive funding on the sewer side.
Okay. 1%, 1 point, whatever,
yeah,
right?
Right, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm sure we'll see you again.
Any other questions? Don't hesitate to call.
Well, you had mentioned, you know, about the future. You know, like the future, future generations here, the future of the town.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think ahead. You want to think that your residents have some market value down the road, either for your heirs or for yourself in the event you want to move out of town. So a lot of variables play into maintaining the infrastructure. That's just one of them, you know.
Thank you. Okay, do we have to make a motion to go back into the regular order? Okay, can I have a...
Make a motion to resume the regular order of business.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Be safe when the hurricane hits.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
Okay. All right, we come to public agenda. Public comment, agenda items only.
Bert? 802? Right. On the bills, a couple of things popped up. We bought 12 new water meters. How many of those are going to be installed, and how many of them are supposed to be in storage for the next problem?
I think 10 of those have been installed.
Ten have been installed.
Pretty sure, yeah.
And were they installed all in the same neighborhood? Did we
establish
that, or are they just general?
They were in pits, that much I know.
They what?
They were in pits, in the water pits, the water meter pits, as opposed to like mine is inside my house. You know,
you should have gotten a new one.
Five years ago, I got a new one.
You should have gotten a new one. But, let's see if I rephrase the question. You said there were they were all meters that had been installed in the meter pits.
Yep.
So the question is, were all the meter pits in the same bad condition, and were all those meter pits in the same area, or were they scattered throughout town? So we can have do we have some idea that there's a specific problem in one specific area? That's the question.
I'll have to find out about that. What I know is that most of them were misreading or not reading, so that's why they got flagged to be exchanged.
Okay, so we have no idea if there were, let's say, outside circumstances that caused this problem.
Don't know.
Okay.
Don't know. Yeah. Right. There was one down the street from me that was frozen. That was on, that much I know, 76 Pine.
Okay.
And that was a newer inside, or I believe. So.
Yeah, I think... I think from what the ones I've been told were bad were not concentrated in one area.
Okay.
They were kind of scattered.
I think generally it's, you know, from complaints and irregular billings,
yeah,
and they look at the meters.
Well,
From
Sam,
yeah,
we got which ones did.
I'm
yeah.
sure that, I'm
yeah.
sure there were good reasons to replace them, Mike. I'm just want to know if you could identify a particular problem that caused them to go bad, that's all.
You mean like soil conditions and flooding and that kind of thing?
Yeah. So would we expect to have to replace more in that particular area? So we don't know. Under Roberts Engineering, there's a charge of $1,023.75 for main clearing and televising, but we have a letter from the municipal...
Yeah.
For East Windsor Municipal Authority saying they're going to do it for nothing.
Yeah, that was related to the sewer main cleaning when we had the vac truck come out to do the cleaning. As part of that, they televised the lines to see if there were any clogs.
Well, this is
They televised everything, or did they televise a small portion?
Just a small portion on Homestead, Elm, and Cedar, I think.
Okay, so why are we paying Roberts for that work?
Well, that was done as part of the sewer main cleaning project that we did when they had that big vacuum truck. That was prior to that.
So we just found out that Mr. Brand will provide that service for us this
week.
Okay.
Let me try this a little more.
Okay.
What services did she perform for this main clearing and televising that we're paying that much money for?
I haven't seen all the specifics. I did review the bill. I know what roads it was related to, and that it was related to that project with where we contracted out with the county, and they came in with their big truck.
So did Carmella have somebody here to oversee the operation?
Yeah, I don't think it was.
Prepare some documentation.
No, this
do you have a copy of the bill? It should be in your folder.
Right here, yeah.
What does it say?
It says prepare quotes for sewer main planning and televising on Homestead, Elm, and Cedar. Review quotes and prepare recommendations to council. Services 118 to 17 or 81 to 817. So this is related to the. She got three quotes from three different companies that got pulled from the agenda, and the free one got put on. So this is
her services
to get those three quotes. Okay. Nothing ever happened, and we're going to get it for free. So this is the one that I haven't signed yet. But I had a question on that myself, but
she did the work.
So
anyway, that's going to lead me into another question.
Mm-hmm.
Just you on the agenda tonight is authorizing Carmella to do some work, which is as a purchase order. Is there any kind of contract that's associated with that purchase order?
I did some research. This is most of the contract that you will find between the owner and an engineer, just like it's a contract between an owner and an architect. It spells out how work is to be done, how it's to be paid for, who looks it over, how much you charge per hour for anything that happens outside the scope of the contract, and how it's done. You can't get that information with a purchase order.
Right.
And so I'm saying that I don't think this should be, that you may want to pay this, but I don't think you should do any more with Carmella until you get some sort of contract.
We have a contract with Carmella?
You guys one at the beginning of the year.
Say what?
I sent you one at the beginning of the year, right?
Yeah.
I think she signed it.
As I say, these are specific to projects. But not
we do have a contract with her, but I don't think we have it specific to every particular project.
There ought to be some.
It has requirements for not to exceed. It's the form contract I sent you guys, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It has general terms and conditions, and assigned from time to time.
But what Bert's saying is
that you need resolution.
There's specific
there's
contracts
specific,
like
specific
this
work.
For specific
for instance,
work.
There's nothing in this resolution that tells you how you're going to pay her, is there? When she could say, "I want 30% in advance." And you'd say, well, it's not in the contract. There's no contract.
Payment terms? No, there's payment terms in there. I mean, I could look at the forms.
You know, I mean, that's the sort of stuff that ought to be in any contract with any professional. I'm sorry, as a professional,
here.
I'm saying
that.
I know that her contract states that it's no more than $65,000 without some prior.
Yeah, but you don't know how she gets to the $65,000.
Understood.
Yes, we do. She sends itemized bills every month.
Yeah. And how does she get paid for unanticipated activities, which she's bound to get?
She needs a resolution. That's why this resolution.
Every time she needs more than a resolution, she needs a description, she needs authorization.
A certification of availability of funds and all the other processes.
Right, yeah, the whole nine yards.
Yes.
So,
well, does there
my suggestion is that somebody ought to review these contracts and decide whether the contract we have, the contract form we have, is sufficient for the work that's to be done, or whether the contract form should be more in a form that's standard in the industry.
Okay.
Sure thing. And on the bond issue, the bond, what the resolution is going to be. For the construction of the water distribution system replacement. I'm concerned about whether that is the correct thing to do, whether we should start with the water or whether we should start with the sewer. But there are two things, one of which Mary Tullis got from East Windsor, a very nice report on their sewer system. What they have, how much of it they have, where they've had problems, how they've replaced the problems, what kind of pipe they have in various places. We don't have any of that. We're working blind. And we're starting this project, or our engineer has recommended we start this project in a place where we don't have any information about the system that we're going to replace, but we do know that there are other places that have great problems further down, more problems than we've had up in the Homestead Lane section. It would seem to me if we're going to do this project, we should start at a location like that rather than start sort of up in the air somewhere. On the sewers, I think that we have to look at the sewer as they did also. We're getting this infiltration. And the infiltration has two problems. Or hardly has more than two problems. We have lots of broken pipes. One of these days, when those pipes are going to collapse, and we're going to have to dig down and replace it anyway, so the sewage will flow to the sewer treatment plant. We have that problem. The other problem is the infiltration itself. We get our water from a well. This is a little out of way. We get our water from a well, from an aquifer. In order for that aquifer to keep supplying us with water, it has to be continually recharged. How does it get recharged? It gets recharged from the rain, etc. If we just keep dumping the water that's supposed to recharge our aquifer, we're going to run out even faster than we are under normal circumstances. So I think that we should take a good look at looking at the sewage system carefully. Maybe we should split up the system. Maybe we should do, while we're doing water, we should do sewer at the same time, that particular branch. I mean, East Windsor has said, this is our program. We're going to replace all this stuff. We're going to replace it with certain pipe, kind of pipe, and we're going to replace it over a certain period of time, and we expect to spend a certain amount of money each period of time. That's what we need to do. You know, I've done some planning in my time, and you don't plan on the basis of hope. You plan on the basis of information. And we haven't got the information. And I think we have to do that. The last one is, I notice, again, that we're buying bottled water. It's hardly any money at all. But it would give a bad impression to the community if they know that in this building, nobody's drinking Roseville water. I think we ought to do that. Thank you.
Hey, Michael Tichton. I just noticed that we have a resolution authorizing East Windsor MUA to clean and televise the sewer lanes and sewer mains on Homestead and Cedarport at no cost to the borough. Do we have something in writing from East Windsor saying that they were going to do that?
I asked Carmela. Yeah. This came about through Mary Tullis's efforts in her meeting with the MUA.
Yeah.
uh,
guy in charge over in East Windsor.
Right, it was Brent. I saw that.
Yeah,
yes.
So I asked Carmela to confirm and talk to him. So they have a verbal agreement. I mean, well, I know. At this point, they have a verbal agreement. She confirmed. He said, we'll be glad to do the roads that are that you're going to be doing construction on. Homestead and Elm.
Right.
So he verified it with her, but we don't have a written agreement as yet.
Yeah. Cause I'm saying
and I'd like to say also that I have a verbal agreement with another township that would do it for free also, but it's only a verbal agreement.
Okay.
I'm appreciative that Carmela went and...
As I'm saying, with them offering to do it, reminds me of Churchill's comment about Lend-Lease as being the most unsordid act in history that America was able to be doing on Lend-Lease to Britain. But the, you know, that generally people don't do, you know, towns don't do things for other towns at no cost
very
at all.
I surprised myself,
like,
but
yeah.
I thought Mary.
I mean, I think before we pass
later,
a resolution, that we ought to have something, you know, in place.
Right now, I
saying that that is. And
well, that's why I wanted Carmela to confirm
sure,
it for us
sure.
because it just seemed, especially East Windsor, it's not our
right.
St.
I think
County.
you want a resolution
yeah.
from the MUA. It's not just. I mean, he's not the MUA. The MUA is a board. That's the ones who have to make that.
Yeah, well, I assumed Mary would speak later and give
okay,
us
well,
some more information.
Just saying
that
something
yeah.
before we pass this,
no,
I think we should have that
a
in
good
hand.
Idea.
Yeah. yeah. The no, I was saying reiterate the about this with the sewer plant, that the sewer lines that if we're going to do something on the premise that we're taking the street, doing the streets, that we should do what's under the street, that we should get the sewer done at the same time. That it doesn't make you know that sort of violates the premise by saying, well, we're doing the water and the paving, but you know, forgetting about the sewer. We know we have the problem with the sewer. And in terms of doing with phases, I was just trying to tell Peggy before that I was at the representing the borough at the CDBG meeting today in Freehold, and one of the applicants is the Ocean Grove Sewer Authority, which, unlike us, is in a low-income area, so they're eligible to get CDBG funding
Is part of Neptune Township?
Part of Neptune Township, but it has its own separate sewage authority just for Ocean Grove. So they're an applicant, and they're important. Noted that they're in phase 15 of their replacement. So it's something that this is the 15th year that they've been doing a section of it. So they're just doing the same thing section by section.
It's only like 10 blocks by 10 blocks.
Well, it's
town,
rather
yeah.
it's very densely populated yeah. though. So they, you know, they get. I'm saying that they're in the 15th. Phase of it, so it's something that has to be done over, you know, over an extended period of time. It's not a unique idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And that's what we have been doing for many years here as well.
Sure, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Jed?
Jeb Sean, 18, tomorrow. So I just want to reiterate and maybe give a slightly different slant on what people are already saying, which is I was surprised to see the ordinance just for water because it's so important to me that the sewer line be done as well. And I know that there's a real time limit because of the time limit on the paving for this particular project. So having read Mary's report from her visit with East Windsor, I mean, it seems as if this is one situation that we need to go ahead with because we already have the paving
grant
with the time limit. And so even if it, there might be reasons to do the water pipes elsewhere, but this is the area that's going to be disrupted. So I think we need to think of two different situations. One is the immediate project, but I would like some reassurance from the council that if this ordinance is passed, that it's that doing the sewer is absolutely combined with it. And it looks like from the discussion about the finances that that's certainly doable. And it may well be that it turns out that those sewer lines are fine, but we need to find out. And so that brings up, and just to finish that idea, and then Mary's report describes how how East Windsor plans for the future, which obviously has to be done. But it looks as to me as though their method doesn't really apply here. But one way or another, yeah, we need a plan. Yeah. And then it seems to me that the actual timing of the plan then has to depend on funding opportunities. But you can have like things prioritized and how you're going to do it. That could be worked out and then only implement it as funding is possible. The other thing is there was talk about the fact that some of the sewer lines have been replaced and that in the drawer underneath the one marked water has all the papers about sewer. But then Jill was saying that, and Joe backed her up, that this is all digitized. So I don't see the need, Joe, to go through all those papers.
Well, who has the digital information?
You told me you did.
No, I had the information for R3M, all of their stuff.
Well, didn't
so
they do that?
The sewer lines that have been redone, I have to look through here at this
well,
point.
Well, I think that's a major component of the planning that has to be done once this particular project is done. We just need to know which, in planning how to go forward, we have to know what's already done.
Yeah.
As well, I mean, we've already talked a lot about the fact that one thing that will guide planning is which areas, in which areas have the water mains already broken more than once, or which ones we know are on such unstable land or corrosive land that they're going to be high risk. So how does the council assure the public that in passing this bond ordinance they are definitely going to combine the sewer lines in that?
Well, I think it's early at this point. I mean, we do want, if East Windsor is able to televise our sewer lines starting, you know, with the first two streets, of course we would be more than happy. But there seems to be this idea that everything's willy-nilly and we have no plan. But
no, I don't
think Carmella is very on top of everything that needs to be done. And she's our engineering expert, our paid professional. And so we abide by her guidance of she finds the funding, she knows which areas are in need of.
Well, I guess it'd be nice maybe to have a review. Yeah. I mean, if she could give some kind of general picture.
Yeah, I think it might be wise for us to sit down with her and go through that. I think she has the digitized sewer line.
If anybody has them,
yeah,
sure they have them.
Because I seem to recall that she said something about that, but she wants to be sure, and that's why she's televising the lines, because since that was digitized and since she had that information, things might have changed under that road.
Right. Well, but so what? How long do you have to wait to get those sewer lines digitized? Because there's a deadline.
Well, they are digitized. I mean,
no, I mean not digitized.
Televised.
Yeah. Well, I guess that depends on.
She's trying to court. That's why I kind of connected the two of them, because they want to move quickly on that.
Good.
Yeah. So hopefully we don't have to wait too long on it.
Yeah. If we pass this resolution for her to, or for East Windsor to do this, then.
Although, Michael has a point, we need to have it in writing, but can we pass it, Greg, without it being in writing first?
From the MUA.
From East Windsor MUA? We have two verbal commitments from them.
They're not charging anything.
They're not charging anything.
Right.
But this would be our commitment from the council to say, could you do this for us?
Right.
Yes.
So it's our written asking for them to do this.
And the other, just one other point is.
What?
Until there's a resolution from the MUA, no legal offer has been made. There's been discussion.
Right.
Told they will do it. But they can't accept something that hasn't been offered yet.
No, that's why I said you had
to
ask
them
through the
council. We can ask.
Understood.
So,
But we are absolutely interested in the sewer as well.
Okay.
I mean, we all live here. We want.
No, I know. But, we've all wanted it. For years.
Well, that's why we're finally trying to take some action.
No, I know. I absolutely admire and commend you. But I I'm thinking about it. I'm trying to process it.
Great,
and other people who don't come to meetings want to know and ask me questions. And I don't know. I was a little shocked at $1,000 for just that recent Carmela bill. I just wonder if her fees are in line with other people.
I have to say that Carmela also does many things for us without charging us.
Okay.
Frequent phone conversations, emails, text.
As long as you feel it's
some
in
of
line.
Her appearances here, she frequently does not bill us for her work.
Because in the past, I mean, there just have been some services that we've really been overcharged for, and I have no idea what the standard is. But anyway, it did strike.
As well as I should add also that George and Jerry do not charge us for all their appearances here.
Oh, that's
which
great.
Is very nice of
and
them.
And what is Jerry's last name?
Stankiewicz.
Stankiewicz. Okay. Yeah. And yeah. I wasn't
if you want
sure.
me to spell it later, I can
spell
it.
It was
a terrible. I can spell it.
It was my mother's maiden name, so I could spell it too.
It was a terrible name for him to grow up with. I knew that. He told me.
Yeah. Stankiewicz.
Yeah.
How she pronounced it.
All right. This is. We're still on agenda, so I think it's really time to move along. Everyone has spoken. Right. So that's what I just was going to say. Anyone who hasn't spoken. So, Mary.
Well, I would like to thank you very much for having the financial information presented tonight, because I think a lot of us are wondering about that, and it's nice to know what loans we have and the potential impact on the water and sewer bills. So that was very good. And also, I'm very glad to see that contact has been made with East Windsor regarding the televising of the sewer. I think it's great that Carmela contacted them, and I have every confidence that they're going to do it. If you pass this resolution, I think they will be there tomorrow or whatever. I mean, they will. A question about the $715,000. Is it enumerated someplace? What tallies up to that number? Like, what's engineering? What's material? What's excavation fees and stuff like that?
There is a letter from Carmela.
Yeah. It's got all that specified in it. We can get you a copy of it. I don't have my copy. But
the $530,000, I believe.
It would have been in the agenda prior, so it's definitely posted on the website.
It's from quite a while ago.
Yeah. No, just the last meeting?
Or the one before?
Some of those numbers are kind of ballparked, and they're usually at the high end, so that when you finance it, you have enough money. So they usually come in much lower when the actual numbers come in.
There's actually two letters. The second page of one letter itemizes the $530,000. The other letter states the O&E, the engineering and operation, I guess. So the soft cost is one letter. The other letter is the hard cost. So
if the televising of the sewer indicates that some part of that should be replaced, then does that impact this amount?
Neither of these two letters for the $715,000 approach the sewer at all. They're all about water.
So if it turns out that we should do something about the sewer, what do we do? We have another bond?
Mm-hmm.
But, oh dear, this is a problem, because we have this deadline looming for we have to have the engineering work and everything done for the road construction.
No, that's taken care of already. The construction part is taken care of. Now, that was the first part.
The other thing is you may have bonds that can be used where a portion of it hadn't been used.
Right. Like the bond that we were talking
about earlier?
As long as it meets the specs of it that you can use and turn
on. So it sounded like it did say water and sewer. So it's possible that if we need to do sewer, we have an authorization.
We're all learning a little bit more every day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. you know what? Also, the ordinance about the videoing. It doesn't mention Elm Court, I don't think.
The resolution?
Yeah,
the resolution.
Carmella had said that Elm, oh, the should be Homestead and Elm.
It says Homestead and Cedar.
And Cedar, right. I asked about that. And Elm is part of the NERCO Road project.
So they're not ready to move
they're
on that.
They're not ready
yet.
To move on that yet.
Uh-oh.
I asked Carmella.
If they're coming, but if this is to authorize East Windsor and they're doing it for free, doesn't it make sense to have them do all the parts?
I said exactly the same thing. As long as they're here and they're doing it for free, and Elm is a little street, you know, maybe they could possibly, it was something to discuss with Carmella, who could discuss it with East Windsor, because I have that in a text where I wrote to Carmella, couldn't they just do Elm also as long as they're here? And I said, I don't want to be greedy, but, you know, maybe they could do that also.
Well, so is there any way to amend your resolution so that you include it, and then if they're willing to do all three when they come out here?
Well, maybe we shouldn't amend it until we know that they would do it.
Well, what are you waiting? You're going to have, you're not going to pass this until you get something in writing then from them?
Carmella's email said that they would televise the two roads at no cost, so...
Oh, so
that's it. So those were the two roads
yeah,
she gave
so
me.
I don't know if they weren't aware of Elm. Did you talk to them about Elm also?
Oh, no. I mean, they didn't know the names of our streets
right,
or anything
that's
what like
I've
that.
Seen,
and
yeah.
it didn't,
so we
I
need
didn't
to find out if they would do Elm or not.
That would be a cost, possibly.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
No, could or could
maybe,
not.
Maybe, or maybe
said
not.
Two.
Yeah. So... all right, so your the resolution then, you're saying you're not going to move on it until you have something in writing from...
Well, we have
East
to discuss
Windsor.
It.
I guess you'll discuss
yeah.
that. Okay. Now, the actual work, though, on the for the water and possibly sewer, will portions of that be going out for bid then? There's the specification of what's to be done. Will the various jobs be bid?
Yeah,
bid,
I believe
right?
everything
has to be.
Would
yeah.
be.
It has
yeah,
to be.
Yeah,
they
it
have
has to be. Yeah. yeah.
Okay.
That's a requirement.
And if the piping is the HDPE pipe, which is the highly recommended one, do we know that we have funds that will be able to do that rather than put in the ductile iron pipe?
The HDPE, I believe,
yeah.
is cheaper than the ductile iron.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So. Will you be specifying that level of detail? Because I think it's very important that we have that.
That's Carmella.
Okay.
Carmella already recommended using the HDPE.
Because that first memo, she says either or. She says ductile iron or HDPE. But I think it's very important based on life expectancy and things like that.
All of those issues, and she agrees with that, too.
She agrees that?
Yeah, and also the soil conditions have a lot to do with it. It's easy, and it's less likely to corrode. It's a little bit flexible.
Yes.
There's a lot of advantages to the HDPE.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. And just agreeing with everybody else who said, I think, if this work would have been done long ago, when we're reading some of those authorizations, we wouldn't have the trouble that we're having now. And I really think it's great that you presented this, and we do need to get moving forward. But we also need to have a plan, as has been said, for what's happening. And actually, I think East Windsor analysis would apply here. They look at where breaks occurred, the frequency, and the cause. And their causes are the same as ours.
Yep.
The soil is changing. There's water or freezing and thawing, or it's corrosion. So same type of thing. They always take a picture when there's a break, and then that's how the picture is used for categorizing, you know, what the problem is.
Yeah.
And
I think we have pictures.
Yeah.
Got to do
that's
a little
good.
Digging, but I think we do.
I see, Mary, that Rich Brand agreed that if it was a decision for East Windsor, he would also do water pipe and sewer replacement on the areas to be repaved, because repaving restoration of the road is part of the cost of doing water sewer installation. We have a grant that's paying, so he actually concurs with Carmella.
Yes, we had drawings on the board about, you know, and we're talking about where our more frequent breaks are. But he said, yeah, well, repaving the road is a cost of doing the water and sewer improvement. Mm-hmm. So that, yeah, he said if it were East Windsor, yeah, that's what he would do.
Exactly, yeah.
And then the breakdown.
He's East Windsor.
Yeah. On the breakdown that Carmella did for replacing the pipes, the water pipes, there is also repaving in there. And the $530,000. There's $72,000 for repaving. So that's a kind of a redundant thing.
So that we won't have that cost because we have our grant.
I'm just saying that there is a grant for repaving, and then there's in the bond itself for water pipes, there's repaving and the hard cost. So I don't know how all of that works.
Okay.
You know, again, I'm learning a little bit more every day, and maybe that's money that we don't have to spend. Who knows?
Okay. That would be good. And sometime when there's the next utility committee meeting, I'd just like to go over the memo point. When I mean, I don't want to talk about all the details of it.
Yeah. Okay.
And Mary, I wanted to thank you for that, for doing that meeting with Rich Brown. I thought it was very helpful. And it also opens up a lot of opportunities for us to work with them and to and work as part of a group of other communities who might be working with them, gathering information. There's no sense in, you know, reinventing the wheel every time and going to study things when you can talk to people who say, oh, yeah, we had to study that. Here's what we had. Here's a report on that, too.
Exactly.
That's
I
really
hope
helpful.
It opens the door for that because particularly Rich is extremely knowledgeable and really willing to share information and, you know, work and stuff.
And not only
like
that, he saved us about $5,000.
Well, that's great.
By having them agree to do the televising, it's $5,000 more in our budget. So,
Mary, I just wanted to, you know, on number 14, he said we probably do water pipe and sewer replacement if needed. Mm-hmm. So if he does.
Oh, yeah, the sewer if needed.
The sewer, if needed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So this videotaping, if it reveals that.
Right. We have to see. Yeah.
Right.
What it reveals.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm going to close the public comment now on the agenda items. Come to approval of minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of August 13th, 2018? Regular session minutes.
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Roll call?
All right.
I'm sorry, who second?
Steve.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
I'll abstain because I wasn't present.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Passes. Approval of minutes of August 27th, 2018, regular session minutes. Do I have a motion?
I'll move that.
Second?
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
I just want to make a comment, too, on how good the minutes are and how timely they are. I think it's much appreciated that we're approving these minutes in a timely way rather than letting them accumulate
as
they've done
in
the past.
Yeah.
For years?
First time in years.
Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome. Thank you to Lori.
Yeah, for Lori, too.
Okay, we come to correspondence. The first one is the letter from Roberts Engineering dated August 22nd, 2018, regarding various methods for water main improvements. I think we've all read that and discussed that. And we have a letter from Black and Veatch, dated August 17, 2018, regarding notification of pending modifications at the North Valley Road Water Tower for AT&T. They're just going to be making some changes to their equipment.
I did give this to the construction department, well, to the put it in their box, no construction, but they come here, the state comes here on Wednesday.
The construction officials.
Oh, okay.
And I reached out to Sal to let him know that permits are needed, and that he has to get in contact with them. So,
I have a question on this also. Are they going to install additional equipment?
No.
Are they going to remove equipment?
According to the letter, they're just going to be making some modifications, and staying within their exact space that is allotted to them. And they didn't say anything about additions or just strictly some modifications, maybe upgrading or something.
Can they be specific with the modifications? I mean, if they start hanging more stuff on there, would that make a problem for the other people that want to use the tower?
Yeah, I don't think that's the case, Joe. I think they do this every so often. This is not new.
Okay.
They've made modifications in the past.
Okay, can Carmela be involved with this?
Carmela, it will be involved with this.
Okay.
She has to make sure that.
We have to make sure that if T-Mobile wants to come in.
Yeah, well, she's involved in that also. So she, you know, yeah, she's involved.
Okay.
And we have a letter, unfortunately, sadly, from Lori Maurer, dated August 31st, 2018. She had to resign as planning board secretary, not as our deputy clerk, but just as planning board secretary, because she took an additional position with Millstone as tax.
She's the deputy tax collector now, and she's taking classes for tax collector.
Main tax collector, right? It's a lot of classes, so she can't fit in planning board.
But she's still going to be our.
Yes, she's still going to be our deputy clerk.
Okay.
Yeah. She better.
Bring the boys up. Yeah.
And we have a letter from Roberts Engineering, dated August 7th, 2018, regarding the New Jersey Department of Transportation application for municipal aid grant for 2019.
And that was four other roads
that's
for repaving?
Her recommendation is Farm Lane.
She has a listing.
Yeah.
You have
I
that
saw,
letter.
I saw
those are the listings
here,
that
yeah.
she recommends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Section of Farm Lane.
There's Farm Lane. There's Tamara, I think.
Yeah.
There's Pine,
I thought she said that her first, you know, the preference was Farm Lane, but that's what she had told me verbally, but in the letter,
there's
she has four different,
yeah.
Okay.
So were those... I guess that's
well, she'll apply for the grant, and then we
so
see what happens.
Yeah. Pine Drive between Tamara Drive and North Rochdale Avenue.
Right.
Tamara Drive between Pine Drive and South Rochdale Avenue.
Right.
And the first is improvements to the entire length of School Lane.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
And Farm Lane between North Rochdale Avenue and North Valley Road.
Yep.
Right.
That definitely needs it. Farm
yeah.
is bad. Yeah.
Farm's bad, but school's bad also.
Okay.
And lastly, we have the memo from Mary Tullis, dated September 7th, regarding her meeting with Rich Brand from the East Windsor Municipal Utility Authority.
And thank you for that,
which,
Mary.
Yeah. Okay, and we come to ordinances. Bond Ordinance 18-06, second reading. Bond ordinance providing for the replacement of water mains, appropriating $715,000 thereof, and authorizing the issuance of $715,000 bonds and notes to finance a portion of the cost thereof, authorized in and by the Borough of Roosevelt and the County of Monmouth, New Jersey. This bond ordinance is providing for the replacement of water mains located along Homestead Lane, Elm Court, and Cedar Court. So I'll open the public hearing, but we've really discussed it at length. But I will open the public hearing at 8:45 p.m. Is there anyone who has anything to say that hasn't been stated before?
Why doesn't it say Yerko?
Because that's not
separate,
part of this.
That's a separate, yeah.
That's a separate road grant, and that will probably be done next year as an ordinance.
Yeah.
It
yeah,
doesn't
there
have water
right.
Mains,
I knew.
Yeah.
I know there are no water mains on NUCCO.
So we won't be having the discussion on water mains about that. Yeah, should be
thank
good.
God. All right. I will close the public portion at 8:45. Should we vote now?
I'd like to make a motion to extend the public hearing and keep it going because I'd like to get information on sewer line replacements if we have that televised. And to take a little closer look at that. So, if possible. Also, this is a Wednesday night meeting. Some people who may have wanted to be here to talk about it in the public hearing portion may not have been able to attend. It's an oddity having a Wednesday night meeting. So, if we could just keep it open for one more time. So, motion to table
I'll
or carry it
that.
Over
second
until.
That.
I'll second that. Carry
can
it over.
All in favor or roll call?
No, I'm going to do a roll call.
Okay.
So, Mr. Hamilton.
I made the motion. Who
to
made the
table
second?
To the next meeting
which
date,
is
which
24th, is September 24th.
Hopefully, we'll get it televised in between. We'll see.
Okay. Yeah, it's not much time. I hope we can.
Okay. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
You understand that it's tabled, correct?
Yes.
Until 9:24. Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Does that seem feasible that it could be done by the 24th?
Push it again if it's not.
The televising of the sewer lines.
I don't see why. I mean,
that's up to them.
Yeah. They just come out with and do it. That's right. Yeah.
I just know what their schedule is like because it's.
Depending on hurricanes, they might
be
okay.
12 days. Yeah. No, I don't think it's coming here, actually.
There's always the next one.
All right, well, hopefully.
We're going to push it because I think we should.
We're going to beg.
So I just want to make an announcement that the public hearing will be held on September 24, 2018 at 7 p.m. at the Borough of Roosevelt, 33 North Rochdale Avenue, Roosevelt, New Jersey, 08555, and that's bond ordinance 1806.
Okay, ordinance 18-07, first reading.
I'd like to make a motion to offer ordinance 1807 at first reading.
This is a vehicle and traffic. It's section 714, stop intersections of the Roosevelt Borough Code Book.
I'll second that one.
Okay. This ordinance is adding a new stop sign at the intersection of Homestead and North Valley Road, which is the triangle there.
It's already there.
I know.
Yeah.
It's got to be approved.
But it doesn't have a force wall behind it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
The public hearing will be held on September 24th as well, 7 p.m., Borough of Roosevelt.
Okay, so I have a first and a second. Yeah. And Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Thank you, Greg.
All right, so again, thanks, like we said, picture. Second hearing is September 24th.
I'd like to offer resolution 18-116, payment of bills.
I had a question. Are we going to, if this is just the list, the bill list, are we going to continue with individual bills? Didn't we do that? Mm-hmm. Up until, well, it was more spelled out, each bill?
Not on the bill list for the, in the packet.
Not Anna sends it to you all.
You should
get the invoices, and you also
I thought
get the
it
bill
included.
It just saves a lot of paper.
Yeah, a lot
well,
of paper.
I know.
I mean, I have it. It's 42 pages.
Yeah, and most people don't want to scrutinize it, so it's a lot of waste, but it's definitely viewable on the...
Did you have any questions about any particular ones? Because
no,
we can
I just...
Take a while.
Yeah, we get the bill list and the invoices.
Yeah.
And an email.
And I have
email.
And it's on the website, so anybody can see it.
The bills are not on the website.
Oh.
The bill pay list is on the website.
Okay.
So I had a first by Mr. Hamilton.
And a second, I think.
I didn't get a second. The bill list. Did you? I didn't
was
hear that.
A motion?
A motion. Second for the bill list. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Resolution 18-117, resolution ratifying and approving change order for replacement of a structural support beam in connection with the borough's ongoing project to replace sodium aluminate tanks at the borough's wastewater treatment plant. Motion?
I'll move that, and if there are any questions, I have to answer.
We'll do a discussion. Second?
I'll second.
Okay. Discussion?
Okay, what happened? I'd like to just explain this.
Okay.
There was a resolution passed early on to because the DEP and because the wastewater treatment plant's chemical room looked like there was a snowstorm in there. And that is residue from the sodium aluminate, which had a lot of spills through the years. And the big tanks needed to be replaced. The big tanks were assigned to municipal maintenance for removal and replacement. They would not remove them until the sodium aluminate was emptied out of them. The guys at the plant had a bid for that, which was $8,000. The guys at the plant did it themselves for $3,000, which I think is a little further down the list here. They kept the sodium aluminate flakes and have been using them as opposed to them getting dumped. They are now recycling them. When the municipal maintenance guys got here to remove the tanks, once the residue was all packaged up, they found that the aluminum girders, which held up the ramp or the floor and the tanks themselves, once they could see up into the beams were corroded and would not support the weight of the tanks and human beings. So they wanted to replace the beams. That's what this is the replacement of the beams. Okay, so, you know, it's like peeling the onion back. We don't know how bad it is until we see what needs to be removed. We remove it, then we see what was holding it up was not good. So, okay.
So do we have a motion?
I did.
Moved it.
Oh, we did? Do we have a second?
Deidre.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I got kind of lost. Okay. All right, we'll do the roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yep.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, resolution 18-118, authorizing Trenton Roofing and Siding to replace the Roosevelt Public Works garage roof and gutters.
I'll make that motion.
Second?
I'll second.
This is, we received $10,000 from our insurance company to repair this roof. This was damaged in Sandy and had never been, we had never applied for reimbursement from the insurance company, and Anna did it recently, and we were very pleased to receive the $10,000. So this was the bid that we wanted to accept.
And this is part of an overall plan to get that public works garage fully structurally intact and functional, so we can use it.
Well, it's already being used because our public works department is building shelves in there. And
yeah, but I mean, the first step is to do the roofing and siding and the gutters and all. Second step would be to do the structural repairs that needed to be done, and then it'll be
drainage, hopefully.
Yeah, and we'll look at drainage some now point and see. Yeah. Maybe this will help out with drainage. You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You have a motion and a second.
Yeah, we have a motion.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, resolution 18-119, appointing a crossing guard.
Mm-hmm.
We appointed Alyssa Chambray.
Chambray.
Alyssa Chambray will be our new crossing guard at Pine and School, at the Pine and School Lane intersection.
Mm-hmm. I'll offer that.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. Resolution 18-120, authorizing Roberts Engineering Group, LLC, to survey, design, permit, bid, and inspect a road replacement project on Homestead Lane and Cedar Court.
Mm-hmm. I'll make that motion.
Second?
I'll second that.
I think we've discussed this.
This is the paving.
Yeah, this is the paving.
This is the engineering part of the paving.
Yeah.
Yeah, to go for the DOT grant.
Yeah.
I just want to say that we've had the last 5 years, I think, that we've applied for grants, we've received grants. So that's that's a really great record, by the way.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, moving along, 18-121, authorizing Roberts Engineering Group, LLC, to prepare an application for the New Jersey Department of Transportation Municipal Aid Grant Fiscal Year 2019.
That's the school lane and farm.
That's the next, next phase of.
I'll move that.
I'll second.
Well.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Resolution 18-122, authorizing East Windsor Municipal Utility Authority to clean and televise the sewer mains on Homestead Lane and Cedar Court. Do we need to add, like, pending written confirmation, or?
No, I think we just.
No, we just keep blanket approval and,
okay.
On such terms, I mean, free is free.
I'll move 122.
I don't really imagine rules when it's free.
Did we get a second?
No. A second.
Steve. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yep.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
I think we ought to have something in writing from them, too.
That's what we said. I guess we should ask Carmela to get that. Okay, reports of committee chairs. Community Development Code Enforcement. Mr. Parker?
So Jeff Klein went to pretty good research for library systems. So basically contacted most of the local towns. I have to contact into Mercer to see what the price could cost. It looks like to go to other local nearby areas, it could be $75 out of pocket per person, which could be a lot of money.
$75 like a year or a one time?
That's what we're trying to figure out. Depending on, it might do it yearly, maybe Mercer could be more forgiving. It's a one-time purchase, $75, and then it would be ongoing for past the years. So I would have to contact Mercer, and then...
You know, years ago, it was free for us because geographically, it was they were just so much closer than Monmouth.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the students here can go to Mercer County for Monmouth County prices.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard that they're not as generous anymore. You'll find out.
Yeah, Jeff, it's a give or take. I'd say if we could use the entire, all the branches, could be more money in the long run.
Yeah, I think we had the agreement with just Hightstown and East Windsor years ago.
Mm-hmm. But I have to contact that, and then by next week we'll have a more solid plan for that.
Okay.
There's an ordinance for the stop sign. Jeb, that was an amazing solution. I think there should be a stop sign there. So I think that's great that that type of solution was given, and now there's an ordinance on it. And that's my report for community development for now.
Sorry, is that in this package?
Yes.
I haven't found
what, the stop sign?
The ordinance?
This resolution.
The ordinance? I mean,
no,
the stop sign?
No, he's doing his report.
Not the stop sign,
it's
the one you're doing about the library.
Oh, no, that's just his report.
No, it's just his report. No.
I'm sorry.
No.
Hold on.
Jeff got back to me with a whole list of his contacts now.
Okay.
Okay, environmental health and safety, Council Member Sheehan.
Didn't meet this month, so I don't have anything to report.
Environmental health and safety?
No.
No. Yeah, sorry. Finance. I'm getting blind at this point.
I think we had a lot of discussion about finances tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we need any more.
Right. I mean, I shouldn't say that. That's fine. Public Works, Council Member Bowen.
I was out of town recently, so I'm not totally up to speed, but the one thing that Greg's been really focusing on is building. And prepping it and painting it. So that should be appearing for our eyes, yes.
Yeah.
Maybe, if it ever stops raining.
That's it for me.
Okay.
There's been a lot of prep work done on the building.
Yeah, fixing cracks.
Yeah. Been inspecting.
Yeah. And utilities. Council Member Trammell.
Utilities. I canceled the utility meeting last week. I didn't have enough notice for a public meeting there. And then I got a little busy. So thank you, Mary, for doing the legwork that you did through East Windsor. Be good to wait for the report from them. And everything else we basically talked about tonight. I would like to try to meet with Rich Grant myself and maybe have a utility meeting with him. And I'm curious about inviting Carmela to a meeting like that also. So
let me check with Carmela because I know she is going to meet with him, so let me see what they have
she's
on.
She's part of Hightstown. But this whole concept of the area, of Monroe, of Hightstown, of East Windsor, and us, there could be some good things in there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it for me.
Okay. Mike, did you have anything you need? Okay. So we have no old business, new business. We have our date for fall Big Trash Day, which is Hightstown Borough Public Works does it, and it's scheduled for the week of October 15th. So usually that means Monday, but sometimes they don't get to us until Tuesday or Wednesday or finish the whole town. But
And we'll put out a list of things.
Yeah, there'll be a flyer going out, what's prohibited, what's permitted, reminding people. Okay, so come to public comment on any item.
We're
going
to
open it up at
9:02.
Yeah. Bert.
Just on the roofing of the old firehouse, one of the problems with the old firehouse was the structural problem.
The wall?
The wall.
We were advised to not repair or do anything to the wall until we did the roof first.
Okay, so is there a plan to repair it?
Yeah. Structurally, yeah. Absolutely.
What are you going to do?
We're going to repair it. No. We're not going to do the actual work ourselves, none of the council members, but we're going to contract out for repair.
Okay, so we don't really know what they're going to do.
We know what's wrong with it,
but I'm not an engineer, nor am I a construction official, so that's up to them.
We would have to get it inspected by the state as it goes along. So
yeah, I mean, was the state that condemned it, right? Was it not?
I'm not sure who condemned it.
I believe it was.
Wasn't it my purvey? But the state will inspect it, I'm sure.
Okay.
A couple of things for the community development. I am just so anxious for something to happen with the deli. And we know that the guy is not responsive. Is there anything...
Do you want me to respond to you?
Yes.
I have been on this constantly. And speaking from a personal viewpoint. And for a long time, I didn't mind that there wasn't a deli.
Mm-hmm.
I was here for many years. Michael knows where. There was no... After the real Roosevelt deli closed, we had nothing. I kind of liked it. To me, it was like kept it more rural. Now we have Wawa down the street. So it really didn't bother me until I met the people who desperately want to open it. They have such great ideas. They're so experienced and... What's the word I'm looking for? Like... capable of doing this. The man is a graduate of the Culinary Institute, mm-hmm. which is like the premier cooking school in this country.
Gee.
But what he told me is, he goes, well, I graduated from the culinary school, but pointing to his wife, she's the cook.
Mm-hmm.
So the two of them with another person are very, they did a lot of, they're not in town long, only a couple of years, they did a lot of research. They want to call it the Homestead Mart. They want it to be a hub for everybody to hang out. They want
yes. That's what we need.
All that. Okay.
I know.
The owner will not respond to anyone. I've written to him. They have their private cell numbers. They've called repeatedly. They've written. He will not respond. I've checked with our borough attorney and our planning board attorney, and there's just nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can do.
They're not the only ones that's also sent over proposals and haven't heard a response.
Yeah. Oh, there other people have
yeah,
also?
Yeah, other people that have.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking, you know, as just a citizen of a resident of the town, I felt like personally writing him a letter and pleading.
Well, I pled as the mayor. That did nothing.
Well, I just thought maybe if a lot of people wrote
I think a lot of people have been contacting them.
Well.
I was at the planning board meeting last week, so I spoke to Michelle Donato about it. I said, eminent domain, blight. So she's like, well, first of all, eminent domain would bankrupt us.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah,
it's not really blighted. And
No, I don't know what's the matter with this guy's public spirit. I mean, he's a rich
I
guy.
Wish. I mean, honestly, I didn't care that much. I mean, I didn't like to see it abandoned. That looks terrible. But I didn't mind if there wasn't a deli there. And once I met them and saw all their plans, I was really.
We just were driving
home from a long drive the other day, and we just thought, God, it would be so nice to just stop in and have a cup of coffee.
People would love it. Everybody wants to hang out, not just at the post office. There's nowhere to sit.
Right.
And they had such great ideas, but I don't know what to think.
I grew up going to the deli, and it's... That's something that
to
I
write a passage, right?
Yeah.
See,
ride your bike down there.
I never really frequented it, but
I could see a
place that would appeal to me more. And it sounds like it's there. It's there,
and they're very anxious. And I guess Cody must know other people also.
Yeah.
And there's just no response. And I haven't
been contacted.
I've researched it again and again, and talk to our professionals. And
when was the last time anybody talked?
Thank you.
Didn't Maureen and Robin?
Robin opened talks with them, and then she resigned, and that was it.
No, but that's not. But the people who want to open it have been calling them and calling.
Oh no,
them
I mean just in terms of being responsive.
They were.
I mean
touch.
That she actually got to go and talk to them.
Well, no, the people who want to open it sat down in person.
Oh yeah.
And they said, "Great, okay, here's our numbers. Just call us." They won't respond. And I did send a letter maybe in July.
Yeah, they reached out to me a couple of months ago, and I got back to them, and I got back to them.
Who, Gotti?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And they just haven't gotten back to me since then. So.
Well, it's they don't.
Well, maybe we can think of something. Anyway, I had a question. Does the council have a liaison with the school? In some way?
Mary?
With Mary?
Yeah, I mean, is there anybody... Is that a function? I think there needs to be a function of...
It depends what the issue is. I mean, I've called at times. Mike's called.
Yeah, but he's part of the council.
I just
not officially.
Okay. I have a loony idea that I might just go talk to the school about... because I could see an art project in which... The students made posters that in humorous ways encouraged people not to throw the wrong things into the toilets. I think it would be really fun.
Never works.
Mike Lyons, the sewer guy, he was talking about having the children shame their parents into that also, you know.
Well,
so
I think the school maybe could come up with something, if not that. But I actually think that humorous, slightly scatological posters would be
very
effective.
I can't believe that people still do it after we've, like, urged them over and over.
Stupid
and
packages say flushable, you know. Anyway.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay. Michael Tixon. As for the deli... When some time ago was the last time I had spoken with him, his big point was that he wanted to get the liquor license at a price that he thought was fair.
But he hasn't applied for it.
Well, I mean, maybe if he was apparently last told that it would be like $50,000 when the borough put it up, it was like $50,000, and that was, he felt that was excessive because he already paid.
He put it up for $100.
I'm sorry,
$150.
Whatever it was. It was a very high price, and he.
But also, you know, Mike. Was extremely non-compliant when he...
I understand that, but I'm saying if you promised to, you know, what would... your question was simply what has he said in terms of what is his concern. That's I'm just relating to you that that's what he said was his concern.
But he does have prospective leaser, you know, people who want to lease it, and he's not come to us asking for a reduction in price or a second chance.
I'm suggesting that if somebody, you know, if you... want to if you want to at least suggest to him you want to discuss a liquor license, something of that sort, this might be a way to get him started in talking.
Well, the people who want to rent it also were interested in buying the liquor license.
I understand that. he is the owner of the property, would be the one that would get the liquor license. They could then use the liquor license. So I'm saying if he was told, yes, we are willing to have discussions at a feasible price with liquor license, perhaps this would be the way of starting a discussion that might lead to something rather than just the ongoing stalemate. Okay. Again, that whole thing with the East Windsor authorization, if there's probably something in there at least suggesting that this was subject to receipt of written confirmation, you know, because it's sort of strange, you know, accepting something that hasn't been offered yet. So, you know, just...
Well, it has been verbally.
Well, it hasn't been because it's not right. You know, again, it's been talk of doing it, but there's been no action of the governing body, which is the utility authority. That has
right.
to be a resolution, you know, as you know.
Right.
You can make a statement to somebody the council is going to do something. It doesn't mean anything until the council actually passes a resolution. So there's the same thing there. Okay. On the subject of signs, I just wanted to suggest this, you know, for good that we got that sign, that stop sign up. There's a yield sign that's they put up before the divergence of the two sides of it, which actually makes really no sense because it's not clear what the point of that yield sign is.
So now that there's
almost
a stop
like at
sign.
Your house.
Yeah, it's right,
right
by my house.
And that,
yeah.
that sign should be taken and moved down to the intersection of the southern fork of Homestead Lane with Valley Road. It really, maybe they were trying to save not having two yield signs. They thought they were saving the money, the cost of a yield sign, by putting one of them so far back that it. You know, not even relating to the intersection, so you might want to look at that.
Okay.
You mean and put it like in front of Johnson's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That's
yeah.
right. Exactly.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And that would make sense, I think. Yeah, and especially now that you have a stop sign further up, so the yield sign no longer applies to that. That the
and
northern,
that's a new yield
the northern
sign
spur
too.
Also. Yes.
Because it was
that would be that
faded,
would help too,
yeah.
right? And while we're on the subject of signs, it's something I'd brought up many times in the past and was never done. There's still a deaf child sign that's up by the
yeah.
by Marco's
yeah.
house
children,
on.
Yeah.
Cemetery.
On Eleanor Lane. The deaf child has grown up years and moved out
that's
years ago.
Yeah,
which
yeah,
is
yeah.
right. I mean, the child has not lived there for at least the last 20, 25 years. So, I mean, those signs should be taken down.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
not that there's necessarily anybody confused by it, but there's no reason for those signs to be there. Okay, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I'll tell
thank
Public
you.
Works.
Yep.
Or,
oh, he
or Steve
notes.
Will,
yeah.
right?
He is Public Works.
Where's the sign?
It's on
Eleanor
Lane.
Debbie Connors, 23 North Rochdale. I don't know who this would be addressed to or how this could be done, but as you're coming down Clarksburg Road to the stop sign at South Rochdale,
yeah.
there's a lot of tree branches that are blocking that sign. And recently, we've had two car accidents at that corner. Now, I don't know if that's playing into the reason of the car accidents, but being that it's a county road, do we have to go to them about trimming those branches back, or can we just kind of take some clippers and clip them back?
I don't think the county would mind if we took clippers and clipped them back.
They got to be cut back quite a bit.
Yeah.
So it's something
coming from Clarksburg.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Before
on
you
the
make
right
the right
side?
Turn into.
Yeah. yeah.
Onto
I mean,
571.
Yeah.
You don't see the sign until you're about 20 feet from it.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, I had this happen not too long ago where some guy was zooming right in front of me, and I was like, "You're gonna miss the sign," and sure than the devil, he got like 20, 30 feet from the sign, slammed on the brakes.
Yep.
So. You know, this is, we've had two car accidents within, I want to say, the last month, 2 to 3 weeks. I don't know if it's playing into it or not, but if we can avoid another accident, yeah, it'll be great.
Yeah, so Steve, can we ask PW to take care of that?
Yeah.
Okay. And I also want to say thank you publicly to Mary Tully for taking the time and the effort of looking into this bit with East Windsor. I understand from reading her report, it really does take a lot of time, and she's really investigated, and I know she's probably going to continue to do it, but I just want to say thank you as a resident for her doing that. It was really nice, and I appreciate it.
We all
thank
do.
You.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay.
Mary?
Yeah, just very quickly, I want to say the clearing of the grass on Lake Drive in the wooded area was really great. I mean, it's really been cut back. It's like about 4 feet now cleared. Now homeowners are starting to dump their lawn debris. So when people come through to mow it again, they're going to have to move some wood and stuff like that out
yeah.
of the way.
Maybe you should put a sign, no dumping.
No
dumping.
Yeah.
Don't even think about it.
Right.
Don't
yeah.
even think about it.
yeah.
Exactly. You mean like the kind of the woods near your house,
like
across
on
the street?
The when you first come down Lake Drive, there's only houses on the right, and there's the woods. So that was cleared very nicely, but now things are starting to be done.
If it's an ongoing problem, we'll probably have to put a sign up.
But anyway, a great job was done there. And the only other quick thing is I sent an email out about this, but tomorrow there's this webinar at 2 o'clock, and the whole point of this webinar is...
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah.
George and Jerry said that he and the two of them and Carmela are completely on top of this.
They already know all about
everything. He
about
said they're
that,
absolutely
so.
On top of
well,
it. In fact, they discussed it today. He said it's not necessary for any of us. They're really on top of it.
Okay, because they say community leadership encouraged. So
I showed them that, and they said, we're completely on top of
well,
it.
Well, if you so. Just find yourself with nothing to do at 2 o'clock, you can tune in.
I trust that.
I got the email.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, we'll close the public portion at 9:17. We have no need for a closed session? Nope. Okay, so do I have a move to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, adjourned at 9:17.